Welcome here. Thank you to Carla. Were you singing along in your head? I was, and I only heard the last song, so you were lucky if you heard more. Thank you for that again. And we want to gather and we want to sing Jesus is Coming, and we're going to pretend that we're waving the palm branches and walking down the aisle. We'll pretend we're children. Sing the story 73, or adults, I shouldn't say just children. Jesus is coming, pave the way with branches. Let's stand and we'll sing it through twice, 73, and sing the story. Good to see you all here this morning. Some people we haven't had here for a while. Hello, neighbors. and more neighbors. It's good to see everybody here. A quote from the writer in the Rejoice devotional this week stated, "What makes a church the place where God dwells is the people who make up the community of believers. We all carry Christ in our hearts, minds, and souls. The building is just a convenience, a resource, not the church itself. We together are the place where God finds a home." I found that really suitable to us, and I think many other congregations and circles of faith that can't always gather in physically right now. And we reach out to those who can't be here. As mentioned in previous Sundays, phone calls, emails, cards, texts, drop off a little bit of food. It keeps us connected. It helps us feel less alone and part of the larger faith community. And I think we need to remind ourselves every week about that, every day about that. How can we stay connected? So for us here, for others not here, we are together. Today is the sixth Sunday of Lent, and we continue with our theme of being called to go deeper. Today we are being called to go into deep hope. So the focus statement written in your bulletin states, "As we follow Jesus into the Holy Week, we sense the rush of the crowds and seek the deep, steady current of God's steadfast love, calling us to deep hope in the one who comes in the name of the Lord." Join me in the call to worship. We'll read it as printed. "In the current of life, God calls us to deep hope. God wakens my ear, and I turn to God. I do not turn toward those who strike me. I do not hide my face from insult. God helps us, so let us stand up together. Save us, O Lord. Bind the festival procession with branches. You are our God. We give thanks, for you are good, and your steadfast love endures. Many shouted, Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Let the same mind be in us that was in Christ Jesus. We humbled himself and became our hope. We call out to you as you call us to deep hope. Let us pray. Dear God, you come to us in humble ways, in the fragrance of the earth melting, in the lengthening of the days, in the beauty of the purple crocus or yellow daffodil, in the sounds of the birds and the sight of the first bee. You come to meet us when others cannot come. Open our hearts to the hope and joy of your triumphant entry into our world. Accept our hosannas as we gather together to meet you in worship today. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen. Turn in your Mennonite hymnals, our song of praise today. Hosanna, loud hosannas, the little children sang. Hymn number 238. Let us stand if you're able.
Turn your bulletin to the back and we will begin together with the prayer of confession and assurance, and then I will move into our communal prayer. Together. Deep calls to deep. We call to you from the depths of our hearts. We confess the rapid pace of life that sweeps us off our feet. into whirlpools of expectations, into eddies of busy distractions, we confess our need for a steadfast stream of your grace, enduring forever, saving us. Deep calls to deep. You call to us from the depth of your love. Calling us to deep hope, we come to you, God. Our Father in heaven, you've heard our confession, even though it was written by someone else. As we say those words, we recognize their truth in our hearts, in our lives, in our actions. And we do come with a confessional posture. We come in humility, bowed down before you, recognizing our unworthiness, recognizing that we are as guilty as so many that we see around us, doing so many things that we can recognize clearly as the wrong thing. And we come to you and we ask for your forgiveness. First, help us to be humble enough to recognize where we have gone wrong, to confess it before you without a but, without an explanation of why our choice or our action was really the better thing. Simply, openly, without description, just simple confession. Open hand, open heart, revealing ourselves to you as your Spirit reveals ourselves as much as we can tolerate. We pray for forgiveness and we plead also for your forgiveness and your peace and your grace to overwhelm our world, which seems to be in a state of confusion. The pandemic, as well as so many other things, so much violence happening in so many places, so much hatred, so much killing. And we pray for those situations. We pray for the people that are facing these circumstances. We pray that you would bring them hope, physical hope, not just that we would be these kind of easy answers to big disasters, saying our thoughts and prayers are with you. We pray for these people in these situations, in so many different places. Some of them are our brothers and sisters in faith. Others, you know who they are. You know the state of their hearts. They belong to you. The whole earth belongs to you. Help us to remember that as all of these events and circumstances continue to disturb us, we again return to you, our steady hope, with thanksgiving and joyfulness of heart, thankful that we have this day, this place, this country that allows us to celebrate Palm Sunday in freedom. The freedom of being protected from a virus that we haven't completely overcome. The freedom to wear masks that protect us, our simple health and safety. The freedom to go and wash our hands whenever we need to. The freedom to receive the vaccine when it is our turn. The freedom to come together as brothers and sisters in Christ, being encouraged by one another. The freedom to phone others and celebrate together with them, whether it's a lost and found cat, or to phone and to encourage a brother and a sister struggling with possible end of life, We pray for them. We bring them to your throne of grace. We ask for more days. We oppose death, but at the same time, we humble ourselves. We know that we do not hold the keys of life and death. And in our humility, we recognize that your steadfast love endures forever. Help this to be our constant testimony throughout all of these events that some of us are going through. But we pray for an end to this pandemic. We pray for an end of this virus. We pray for the endurance to take one day at a time together with you. And just as we pray those things, we pray for the other churches who are also lifting their voices to you in prayer today and other days of the week. Here in Swift Current, we pray for the Open Bible Church, Church of the Open Bible. We pray for Fields of Hope in Saskatchewan with no current pastor. You know how you are leading them, and we pray for them. We pray for those whose churches have recently closed. Give them a clear-sighted vision for the direction that you are moving them, because your church continues. Give us the vision to see how your church continues, how your kingdom has already come here on earth, so that we, as we pray with your disciples, would pray truly. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Christ is our solid rock. Everything else is sinking sand. The song, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less, 343 in your Mennonite hymnal, will move us into our scripture reading and message for this morning. So we'll sing all five verses because I didn't know how to leave any of them out. We know this song so well, but therefore I cannot leave any of the verses out. Focus on the words for this morning and remember Christ as our rock. Let's stand.
Oh,
I'll start with the scripture reading and then move into the message. I am going to focus on the John passage. Throughout all of Lent, we have been following John and John's way of telling the Christ story, the stories he relates, the parables, and the way that he puts it together. So we are going to be consistent and stick with John, not move to other apostles and say, well, that's what John says. What do you say? As if we're doing CNN reporting. Let's not do that. Even on Friday, this Friday, for those who are coming to the Good Friday service here at 10 o'clock, we are going to again focus on the story as told by John. So if you want to prepare for that service by reading and meditating on those passages of Scripture, the next chapters, that would be probably very beneficial to all of us. What I'm reading is John chapter 12. Verse 12 through 16, I believe. Let me remove my sticky. Yes, 12 to 16. The next day. Okay, that's a bad way to start. The next day, what do you mean, the next day? The next from what? Well, the previous day had been the day when Jesus was anointed with that very costly perfume. And one of the disciples said, huh, that money should have been used differently. And as a church that is concerned about finances and where those finances go, that story should really strike at the heart. But that's not where we're looking. It's after that event, when Jesus has been prepared for burial, and the chief priests here, if you look at verse 10, they're preparing to put Lazarus to death. Poor guy, he's going to die a second time, which he will again, of course. Now we're ready. The next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written. Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him and had been done to him. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts as we come before you and your word be pleasing in your sight. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Before I go too far, I want to pay attention to the people that are at home that have not been able to come into the sanctuary. I want to say a special how do you do and welcome here, and one day we have hope that we will meet physically here again. Maybe next Easter will be the Easter. That's what we were saying last year. And we have learned so much endurance and patience, haven't we? I think we have. And we hope that we have, because anyone who does yoga knows the more you stretch, the more you are able to stretch. That's what I hear. I'm not a fan. I don't like yoga. I like more active kind of stuff. Yoga is just too slow for me. But that's way off the topic of what I wanted to talk about. See, that's why it's so necessary for me to pray that prayer. The meditations of our minds can go in a million different directions, even though our heads and our bodies seem to be very stable and stalwart and focused. I know your minds are buzzing just as much as mine is. I'd like to give you a quotation that I read somewhere. I didn't write down who said it. I didn't write down where I read it, nothing. All I've got is the quotation, and I like it. Palm Sunday is what happens when someone you admire refuses to be who you think they should be. Isn't that interesting? Palm Sunday is what happens when someone you admire refuses to be who you think they should be. I have been looking at that yellow sticky all week long and recognizing, yeah, that's so true. And I think that's a daily struggle for us. When we say we follow Jesus, I said, let's play follow the leader. Let's actually do this thing that we say we do. But don't we form an idea of who Jesus is or who Jesus should be, and we want Jesus to be that? And Jesus, fortunately, is who Jesus is, not only who we want him to be. And that alone should give us deep hope. Knowing that we cannot contrive, that we cannot manipulate who Jesus is, we cannot even convince or cajole or beg and plead for Jesus to be or do something other than who he is and being true to the will of the Father. That's who Jesus is, that strong and steady and sure hope of the soul. He will not be manipulated by us, by the great crowd that came and shouted. He will not be sent running by the scribes and the Pharisees, the chief priests, the religious leaders, political people. He will be who he is. That's what we're going to look into. But first of all, let's take a little bit of a look at this deep in the current idea as it applies to Palm Sunday. Deep in the current, and if you look at the front of your bulletin, you see that picture deep in the current. It's pretty as long as it's only a picture, as long as we're not anywhere close. But imagine that this white water is a sample of our lives. Not always, but some of the time. And maybe today is one of those times for you. Maybe you have been in this white water and you can see very clearly it's not going in one simple direction. It's going all over the place. And we've seen enough pictures when you get in a little boat, whatever kind of boat that is, even if there are 12 people, that boat will get tossed about. Some people like to do that. It's called whitewater rafting. They think it's exciting and adventurous. I thought so once. I never did it again. That's when I was young and foolish. Now I'm so much older, so much wiser. I can look down on those kinds of activities. Oh, silly. But deep in the current, think about yourself even swimming or finding yourself in a current that is going to take you somewhere where you don't want to go. And apparently, the best way, now this is speaking physically and really, the best way to get yourself out of that sticky situation is to lie on your back and float. Don't struggle. Don't strain and try to say, I know how to swim. I can get myself out of this. Even those who run to rescue someone, and we've heard these stories, running to rescue someone. The father wanted to save his child that was being pulled out to sea in the current and both drowned. How often doesn't that happen? They say the best way get yourself out of it is to lie on your back and float, and you will be drawn to safety. Release yourself and stop fighting. Think about your white water that is swirling around you. Can you release yourself and stop fighting? I read something by a Jewish rabbi this week, and he was talking about swimming or floating, and he said, we will need to learn how to swim again after all of this, the events around the pandemic, have settled down. But perhaps at this moment, when we are not supposed to be struggling and fighting and doing something against these larger circumstances, like the white water, he says simply floating is a way of staying out of harm's way. It takes less effort, but more trust. And we must believe in the capacity of water to keep us buoyant. Believe in the capacity to be kept afloat. These are figures of speech, these are symbols, and these are ways of knowing and understanding our lives when the intellect is not enough. It's not enough to just know what's happening. Our heart, our will, and especially our imagination needs to be ignited so we can visualize what is really going on in this world around me. What is God's larger picture, which includes my acts, my roles in it? So here we have a simple story that we celebrate every year. Once a year, we come down these aisles, we wave these. Sometimes Emily buys us brand new, real palm branches, and then she's happy and everybody else is happy. We save them. What does it mean? And how is this supposed to be a message of hope? How can we find hope? Where is the hope here? Well, it's really not terribly hard to find, and yet maybe it is. I've been listening to my Easter music, my CD. Yes, I still have CDs. For those of you who are already mocking me, what's wrong with you? You're behind the times. Yes, I am. I like it there. Put those Easter CDs in my car, and I listen, and there's one song, and it's Mary, Mary, Don't You Worry, You Haven't Been Misled. Don't you worry, you have not been misled. It hasn't all been a big ruse. This is not just a great story that ends in disaster. There is hope beyond what happens a week from this day. And as you see, there's the cross that we are expecting to really focus on in a few days' time. This is the cross that Jesus saw as he was entering Jerusalem. It's there in the distance, and he sees it. So now, here we are invited to follow the leader. Really, follow the leader. First, we need to ask, who's the leader? Because I am proposing that if we follow the leader, we will find hope. If we follow the leader, we will find hope. There are other things and other leaders and other choices that we think will give us hope. They won't. Then we will have been misled. Jesus' leadership will actually give us lasting, true, genuine hope. So that's the condition. If you want that hope, how do we get it? First, we ask, who is the leader if we are going to follow the leader? And I say, let's play follow the leader as that game that children used to play, right? I don't think anyone here has played it unless you've got grandchildren. Let's play follow the leader, and then the leader goes and does things, and you do what the leader did, right? Everybody knows that game? Yes. Okay. At least Elaine knows that game. Okay. Me and Elaine are on board. So who is the leader? That's the first thing we have to determine. Because if everybody wants to be the leader, then the game is over. Then you won't go anywhere. Interesting question. But I have to recognize here, I am not the leader. Each of us could say that. We could put that in the bulletin and make you read it. I am not the leader. It's not me, it's not my way, and even it's not my hopes that I am working towards. I hoped they would put up the tennis nets this week. Didn't happen. Silly townspeople. I even hoped that they would sweep the streets clean. Didn't happen. You know, all of these things are conveniences for my own personal life. And we all have a set of them. And some of them we even pray about. I didn't pray about the tennis nets. I kept that one for myself. But, you know, there are some things that we do hope for, we long for, and we pray for them. I am looking and inviting us all to look at something that is bigger than ourselves. Who is the leader? It is Jesus. And Jesus himself, as our leader, knows who he is. Seems like a simple statement, but it's not so simple. Jesus knows who he is. Verse 13, I just read it. He knows that he is the King of Israel. He knows that. I am the King of Israel. Chapter 12, verse 8, Jesus knows he is a companion to the disciples. He knows that they rely on him. They companion with him on this journey. They are in this together. He also knows he has the power. Chapter 10, verse 18. These are John passages. Chapter 10, verse 18. He has the power to lay down his own life. He knows within himself he has that power. And 10, verse 30. He knows that he is one with the Father. I and the Father are one. He knows who he is. There's a movie I like to watch. And you know, in all movies, there are good bits and bad bits. So if you're going to go and check this movie, it's called Moonstruck. There are good bits and bad bits. Cher is the star of the movie. So some of you are fans, some of you are not. In that movie, Cher's mother knows that her husband is going gadabout, and he has his own little friend on the side. She's not happy about it. She goes out for a lonely supper by herself, and she meets someone else, and she has supper with him. And they walk home together. And he says, "Can I come in?" And she says, "Well, of course not." And he says, "Well, there's no one else at home. The house is empty. It's just you and I." She says, "I can't do that because I know who I am. I know who I am." Sometimes we don't pay enough attention. Recognize who are we? And then what kind of decisions are we making? What kind of lives are we living? Jesus knew who he was. Let's follow the leader. Not only did he know who he was, and probably more important even than that, he knew whose he was. He's the King of Israel, and yet he knows that he belongs to the Father. The Philippians passage, Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8, reminds us of that. Jesus said, "I and the Father are one," but Philippians says, he humbled himself, he emptied himself and became obedient. Can we follow that? Last week, Jesus said, "If you want to follow me, you're going to be where I am." Are we ready to empty ourselves and become that obedient? We have hopes, we have wishes, we have ambitions, we have desires that are going to build something great and strong and wonderful, not just for us, but for everyone. These are the false hopes that will mislead us. Mary, Mary, don't weep. You have not been misled. Follow this leader. He remembers whose he is. In chapter 5, verse 19, Jesus says, I do nothing on my own. Jesus himself, Jesus the King of Israel, who has all power, I do nothing on my own. I emptied myself. Chapter 10, verse 18, the command is from my Father. I follow the commands of the Father. So this is our leader. This is the leader that we intend, hope, plan to follow so that we will have that sure and steady hope. Because this life that Jesus is living in the midst of all of this white water that comes to a head right here in this chapter, Jesus is still steady and straight and calm and sure. I know where I'm going because I know who I am following. I belong to the Father. The commands come from the Father. I don't even speak on my own. The very words that I say, chapter 12, verse 49, I only say what the Father tells me to say. Oh boy. That's a sermon all on its own, isn't it? Follow that leader. The words that I say are what the Father wants me to say. There's a whole book of James written about that. The words that we say have impact. If we're going to follow this leader, we need to become that obedient to him. That's who Jesus is. That's the kind of leader he is. But how do we follow him? How can we possibly follow him? We need to recognize Eddie. Yeah, we need to recognize Eddie. Anybody know Eddie? Yeah? Oh, Elaine knows Eddie. Anybody else here? Show of hands. I won't ask you anymore. Anybody know Eddie? No. No. Oh, Val knows an Eddie. I say we've got to know Eddie. We've got to recognize Eddie, at least, even if we don't know who he is. You know, the masks, sometimes it's hard to recognize people. Eddie, the Eddies in the current is what I'm referring to. Recognize all of these Eddies that are going in other circles that are trying to get you into their swirl. Jesus recognized them. This huge crowd. Woohoo! Here we go. That would be so exciting. It would be intoxicating. So much power right there. And they finally realize who he is. He's the king. Now they know it. This is an Eddie. Recognize the distractions, the things that seem great and exciting and pulsating and busy and all of these other things, they are distracting. They're intoxicating. They're alluring. What are the eddies in our lives? The things that distract and pull us down, maybe, and sometimes we only realize when it's too late. We've gone too far down. How do you get out of that? How do you get away from that? Maybe habits that we form, and they start with just small little things, just like an eddy starts with just a little ripple. It seems like it's very calm water. And then all of a sudden, there you are in a canoe that is looking straight down. How did I get here? What did I allow? What allured me? What dragged me in? What pulled me? Recognize the eddies. That's one of the main things. If we're going to follow Jesus, the steady and sure one, We have to recognize that these other things are distractions. Maybe it's time, how we choose to use our time. Maybe it's how we choose to use our money. I know I just said a swear word, but Jesus talked about money all the time, way more than I ever do. Just check him out. Maybe it's how we focus our attention, the things that we learn to love, the things we follow, the things we hope for our family, for our world. Where are the eddies? Then another way to follow him, once we've recognized these other things and said, no, I want to follow Jesus. He's my leader. Then we need to look. Right here in the passage it says, look, your king is coming. Number one, look. Oh, yes, I loved to do this to my students when I was in Egypt. They'd be all distracted by other stuff, looking at the clock for one. And I'd be at the front and on this whiteboard, you know, and I'm doing all sorts of stuff up at the front, and I wanted them to see. And so I would say, boos, boos, boos. And that means look, but it also means kiss. So if you say it the wrong way, they're like, what is she talking about? But at least I got their attention. Look, 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 look. Following the leader requires that we look. It's so simple. When was the last time we just simply look at Jesus? Look. Then the second thing, your king. Your king. This is who, your king. I used to visit a woman named Arletta. She was an older woman, and she had never married, but she had been a missionary at some point. She was also born so prematurely that her mother put her in a drawer in the house. That was the best place for her to grow. She didn't leave her there. That was instead of her bed or whatever. But she told me this story. Arletta told me this story. And I, you know, you're looking at this older woman thinking, wow, so many days, so much life has been lived that you can't see. And I got to know Arletta, and one day she was put in the hospital in a different municipality away from where we were living. And so her nephew was alerted through the medical staff, and he went to visit her and he said, well, what do you want me to do for you? And she said, phone my pastor. That's what Elva was saying this morning. Wish my pastor had come. She didn't know. She didn't get a phone call. But this nephew phoned me, and he said, that really struck me that my aunt said, phone my pastor, not the pastor. Oh, there's the pastor, I need to get a visit. She said, phone my pastor, your king. Your king, that is immediacy, that is ownership, that is connection, that is relationship. Relationship with the king. He's our leader, he's our companion. Look, your king is coming. Third way that we can follow him. Start feeling a little bit sheepish. Feel sheepish. Yeah? Humble. Put your head down a little bit. But Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. We need to do what we can to learn to recognize and distinguish the sound of Jesus' voice. What does that sound like? I can't teach anyone else. I can't tell you what it sounds like. I'm not Rich Little. You remember him? He was so good at impersonations. I can't impersonate Jesus' voice. We each learn to hear it and recognize it. That's how we follow him. What happens then? What happens? Well, then we get Palm Sunday, and Jesus says, go ahead and celebrate. Go ahead. It's been a long Lent. We've had how many weeks of struggling and confessing, and everything is becoming barren. Every week I come and remove some more trees. Anybody notice? Good, I'm glad. That was the intention. Get rid of all the distractions. And then Jesus said, go ahead and celebrate. The passage from Zechariah, chapter 9, verses 9 to 10, that's quoted right here, is all about celebration. Those who love to listen to Handel's Messiah, rejoice, O daughter of Zion. Oh, I'm singing it in my head, let me tell you. It sounds wonderful up there, so I won't sing it. It'll sound terrible. But rejoice, daughter Zion. He's coming. He has come. Your king has come. And all of this great crowd, they were celebrating. Yeah, we're a little bit skeptical of them because they don't really believe the right way and all of those things, right? Jesus says, go ahead, celebrate this. Your king is coming. You want to throw your clothes down on the ground for me to walk on? Go ahead, do it. Wave palm branches, shout and sing and dance. Yes, it's okay. With all of your being, celebrate. Celebrate this Messiah. Celebrate this coming. You look around, what difference has it made in my life? Where's the hope we were talking about? Hello? That's how we're distracted, because we think these hopes need to be immediate, right now, tangible. I should be able to say, I prayed and I got this. I prayed and God answered my prayer and I got this, and now I feel so comfortable and all of my loved ones are comfortable. That is not where Jesus was going. That's not what Jesus promises. This hope goes far beyond our immediate comfort. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13 reminds us of that. All of these died. The predecessors, all of these other people who had so much faith and followed, all of them died in faith without having received the promises. But from a distance they saw and greeted them. From a distance. We may not see everything that God has in plan, that God is preparing, but we can see them from a distance, and that is the steady, sure hope that we can release ourselves into, and all of the white water around us will not drag us down, because our sure hope is in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Our song of response, hymn number 72 in Sing the Story, is a summary of what Lois has been telling us. So focus on the words if you can get them out, because you have to sing very fast. And you'll hear the words again. The chorus gives you a bit of a break in terms of singing the words. But let's sing this together. Number 72, Sing the Story. Let's stand.
Thank you.
Please bow for the benediction. Go in the knowledge that the current of the crowd was not the end of the story, but led to a new beginning. May hope in the kingdom of God be with you always. Amen.
Permission to podcast copyrighted music in this service is obtained from one license, license number 400100P, and from CCLI license number 11517309. All rights are reserved.